Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Simple economic measures are not going to resolve the serious problem. We have got that story plus Adobe caves in, but first, the latest. Bird flu death is pretty much COVID all over again. Another fantastic piece from offguardian.org. The mainstream media widely reported that a new strain of bird flu had claimed its first victim, a 59-year-old man from Mexico. The big news here is that the strain allegedly responsible, H5N2, had allegedly never before been detected in humans. CNN, BBC, Sky News, ABC all ran with the headline, "First confirmed case of bird flu, H5N2 has died," says the World Health Organization. UK's I newspaper skipped straight to asking the important question, is bird flu present in the UK? And of course, more importantly, should I be worried? Of course. None of the mainstream media interrogated the situation further than copy-pasting the WHO press release. But for anyone who followed the early developments of the COVID pandemic, as many of us were fans of, the details of the bird flu deaths all sound really familiar. Patient, already seriously ill with kidney disease, type 2 diabetes. He had been bedridden for 3 weeks prior to the acute symptoms of the bird flu. Furthermore, the diagnosis of bird flu was only confirmed after he was dead by the awesome PCR testing. The death reportedly occurred April 24th and is only making the headlines now. The report also volunteers that the man had no history of exposure to poultry or other animals, which begs the question, why'd you test him for this thing that, you know, the bird flu? More specifically, why were they testing him for a strain of bird flu that supposedly had never infected a human, let alone killed one? Are they just testing everybody just in case? Because that's another COVID thing. Whether or not we're going to do that before, they're probably going to start doing it now, since the World Health Organization's recommendations following this case include strengthening routine surveillance, which essentially means more testing. North of the border, a new report published today claims good old-fashioned H5N1 bird flu has killed dozens of dairy cows across the U.S. before noting in the small print the cows were either died or were slaughtered, making it possible, or even more likely, that none of them died of bird flu. James, a lot of this, the first two states, was New Mexico and Michigan. So this started pretty close to here. And again, this all sounds kind of familiar. Meanwhile, former White House Coronavirus Response Director Deborah Birx is, of course, she's on all the TV shows to spread more COVID-era craziness, talked up the need to detect asymptomatic bird flu in humans. Classic COVID move. Followed that up by suggesting we should be testing every cow in America once a week. There are about 40 million cows in America. If we were to test all of them with PCR tests every week, and for the sake of argument, the test has a 0.1% positive rate, you're looking at 40,000 phantom bird flu cases a week, and thus having to call potentially millions more cows for nothing, which is pretty crazy insane if your goal is to monitor and prevent a disease, but absolutely ideal if they want you to eat the bugs and stop eating the meat. Our buddy Ryan Christian at The Last American Vagabond, of course, always doing fantastic work on top of the situation. Medical industrial complex hypes next scamdemic, and EU to secure 40 million avian flu vaccines for 15 countries. That's all about those deals. It's all about the money. It's all about those purchases. And I think that's something that gets to what the Prime Minister of Slovakia said. He was going to investigate the purchase of all these faulty and false vaccines. James, that's a good thing. I've still got my Disease X decorations up. How about you?
Yeah, I unfortunately, I don't have a coronavirus plushie. Honestly, that should be sold on eBay or something. I'm sure it would fetch a high dollar. But
they are. It does.
Oh, cool. Oh, excellent. All right. If somebody can get us one, send it into the P.O. box there, Media Monarchy Kingdom. We can keep it in the background as a constant reminder of what we are about to live through yet again. Yay. Yes. If all of this sounds familiar, that's because it is. It's the exact same playbook. They're not even changing. They're just changing the name on the label, but it's exactly Scamdemic 2.0. And as Kit Knightley at Off Guardian rightly observes, yes, of course, the MSM is dutifully playing their role as stenographers for the WHO globalist minions, who are, of course, controlled by their donors. And in this case, I would actually, I would suggest people go to the WHO actual press release on this, Avian Influenza A H5N2 Mexico, which I'll link up in the show notes, which, of course, they all take a look at all of the MSM headlines, just take their impetus from the situation at a glance summary at the top. A confirmed fatal case of human infection with avian influenza A H5N2 virus detected in a resident of the state of Mexico who was hospitalized in Mexico City. Oh my God. And apparently none of them actually read down to the description of the situation, in which they admit this person had no history of exposure to poultry or other animals. The case had multiple underlying medical conditions. The case's relatives reported that the case had already been bedridden for 3 weeks for other reasons prior to the onset of acute symptoms. So, yes, we have someone dying with bird flu instead of bird flu. Does this already sound familiar? And how did they diagnose this person with the bird flu? Oh, of course, PCR, real-time polymerase chain reaction. So it is exactly, literally, the same playbook. But we could go one step further. It gets even more bonkers. Literally, the Mexican government is coming out and saying, no, wait, WHO is lying. Mexico's health secretary denies death of resident due to bird flu subtype. And this Jorge Alcocer, the Mexican health secretary, said, I can point out that the statement made by the World Health Organization is pretty bad, since it speaks of a fatal case of bird flu, which was not the case. So there you go, deliberately, absolutely right there in black and white. No, they're lying, guys, they're lying. But for some reason, the MSM isn't picking up on that headline. We could go much deeper into this, and I will just point people to a comment that was left by corporate board member Paul 823 on my recent Future of Food podcast, where he links to a piece from archmedic.info, which I'm not familiar with, but that breaks down the latest case in Australia, because, oh my God, they had to cull 500,000 chickens because of some bird flu outbreak, and it goes point by point and deconstructs all of that nonsense. But we don't even really have to get into the point-by-point deconstruction. By all means, jump in if you're interested. But we know the script, we know what this is about, we know where it's going. They are going to use not fit for purpose, false positive generating PCR tests to drum up a phony scamdemic that they're going to hype with the MSM telling half-truths or one-tenth truths or zero truths, that they're going to make into some sort of big global panic, and, oh, won't the WHO or someone else come in and save us? They're just going to keep running the same play until it's not effective. So it is really a question of what we have learned from the last scamdemic and whether people will fall for it again. Let's place our bets now. The only question on my mind is whether, A, they are really pulling the trigger with this, they're going to go all the way, because I don't think that's decided yet, and B, if they do go all the way and they really are pulling the trigger, are they going to go for the, we're just going to cull cows and chickens and basically manufacture a food supply crisis, or are we going to go the, oh my God, human-to-human transmission, it's a globally spreading scamdemic, or both, I suppose, why not both? That's the real question here. But let me just say, from my perspective of having covered all of these fake scares from swine flu to Zika to Ebola and all of that nonsense, they can signal this many, many, many times before they actually pull the trigger. So it's not necessarily they're going for it right now, but we know what it will look like when they do go for it.
Hopefully folks have seen the meme making the rounds of all the Time magazine cover stories throughout the years going, the deadly Ebola, the deadly Zika, just year after year, a brand new thing to be super scary about. And James, of course, what this reminds me of, the last big presidential election year, I guess what, they have to beat Orange Man somehow? Like he's going to save us. But that's the question, you know, just armchair quarterbacking it. It seems a little late in the year for it to be that kind of effect. It's like, man, everybody's already checked out for summer. You're not going to be able to scare them enough with this because you started too late. All you got to do is think of it as like advertising campaigns. Don't roll out new products now. No one's paying attention. They're all at the beach. And of course, the mainstream media would cover a lot of this, but they'll be right back after this word from the pharmaceutical companies that pay them. That's how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 558. Oh, I think our 15th anniversary is coming up a little later this year. Speaking of highly rated events this year, James. As we head to your home, Japan's birth rate falls to a record low as number of marriages also drops. Grabbing this from JapanToday.com. Japan's birth rate fell to a new low for the 8th straight year in 2023. This now according to health data released by the ministry. Government official described the situation as crucial and urged authorities to do everything they can to reverse the trend. The data underscores Japan's long-standing issues of a rapidly aging and shrinking population, which has serious implications for the country's economic and national security, especially against the backdrop of boogeyman China's increasingly assertive presence in the region. According to the latest stats, Japan's fertility rate, the average number of babies a woman is expected to have in her lifetime, stood at 1.2 last year. The 727,277 babies born in Japan in 2023 were down 5.6% from the previous year, the ministry said, the lowest since Japan started compiling these statistics in 1899. James, when I was first prepping this, I thought it just said 1989, which would be bad enough. Oh, it's just 125 years. Separately, the data shows the number of marriages fell by 6% last year, something authorities say is a key reason for the declining birth rate. Japan, a predominantly traditional society, out-of-wedlock births, not good. It's like smoking weed. Chief Cabinet Secretary Hayashi told reporters it is a critical situation. The next 6 years, until the 2030s, will be the last chance for us to possibly reverse this trend. Takahide Keiuchi, executive economist at the Nomura Research Institute, said these measures fall short of addressing the real problem. Simple economic measures, such as the increase of subsidies, are not going to resolve the serious problem of declining births, they wrote in a report, adding that a conservative mindset espousing traditional gender roles at home and at the workplace also needs to change. James, we probably talked about this when we were in Japan visiting. It was kind of fun to feel like the weird... Because obviously people could walk by and go, look at those Americans. Something that really did strike Cassie and I was actually how kind of conservatively the women dressed. Their dresses were long. They were pretty much always ankle length. It made us feel like the, you know, crazy American Satans. So what's the answer to all of this, James? Well, of course, there's an app for that. Tokyo government to launch dating app in bid to boost birth rate. What's going to be on this app? The Tokyo Metropolitan Government will launch its own dating app as early as this summer as part of government efforts to boost the dwindling national birth rate. Users will be required to submit documentation proving they're legally single and sign a letter stating they are willing to get married. Stating one's income, common on Japanese dating apps, but Tokyo will require a tax certificate slip to prove your annual salary, man. We learned that 70% of people who want to get married aren't actively joining events or apps to look for a partner, a Tokyo government official said in charge of the new app. We want to give them a gentle push to find one. James, I want to laugh, but what sad situations you're in when the government's like, people, do it more.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's think about, you know what? I'll give them the credit. At least a government sponsored run dating app is at least some sort of new idea to this. It will have absolutely as much effect as everything else that they've thrown at the wall over the past several years, which is zero. Or in fact, negative, because the birth rate is continuing to decline. There is a child care allowance that they've started here, because of course, there's the economic factor, people are struggling to make ends meet, so we'll help them, we'll give a child care allowance for each child that they have, which has done absolutely nothing. So their answer to that is to expand that child care allowance to so it can continue to do nothing. Yes, Japan's lower house passed a bill Friday to expand monthly child allowances and parental leave in an effort to tackle the country's persistently declining birth rate. Anyway, yes, there are absolutely economic factors that go into this. There are social factors, etc. But could there be any other possible reason for declining birth rates? I wonder. Well, wonder no more. Not for the first time. I'll cite Ryan Christian at The Last American Vagabond, who recently had a post up about scientists baffled by 22% decline in sperm motility, in which he goes into great detail about a story about the lockdowns. The lockdown was meant to save lives, but instead it's put the future of mankind at risk, in which this Telegraph writer talks about these scientists who are speculating that what is the reason for this declining sperm motility that we're measuring all over the place? I know, it's because people got lazy and sluggish during lockdowns. That is the reason that sperm motility is decreasing. And as Ryan correctly points out, well, how about stories like this one? Exposure to PFAS, or forever chemicals, can reduce women's fertility by 40%, study finds. Or pesticide exposure, the hormonal function of the female reproductive system disrupted, question mark, in the Reproductive Biology Endocrinology Journal. Or this story, safe herbicide in Australian water affects male fertility. Yeah, could there be some other factors going on here? I would say yes. And so if you want more on that, I've talked about this over and over. We've talked about it here on New World Next Week. Just type depopulation into the Corbett search engine, or go directly to CorbettReport.com/Ehrlich, E-H-R-L-I-C-H, for my Meet Paul Ehrlich episode where I talked about this problem of declining fertility and what may really be behind it. And spoiler, it's not just the government isn't creating dating apps enough. No, it is the endocrine disrupting chemical bending that are bending our entire endocrine system and our reproductive system. That might have something to do with this declining birth rate and the depopulation agenda that it is serving. Anyway, front lines of that agenda right here in Japan. So I'll have the front row seat to report on it for you.
Because, of course, the funny made fun of line is it's turning the frogs gay. Oh, wait, that's not true. It's just giving them both sex organs. All messed up. And again, we've been talking about the GMO foods and the GMO animals and how essentially they've been turned into GMO people now that I believe will only respond with the regular application of more of their, you know, Roundup ready pharmaceutical foods. The same time, James, we've been talking about all these demographic winter stories is, again, the same time we've been talking about the talcum powder cancer cases, all the glyphosate, all these other stories that tie in exactly with what you're talking about. Speaking of apps, which I still try and call programs as an old man, our third and final wild card story on this New World Next Week, episode 558, photographers outraged by Adobe's new privacy and content terms. And I heard about it. So, of course, a few moments later, Adobe to update terms of service amid backlash. Adobe, the big software company, Photoshop, Premiere, Audition, updating its terms of use, especially if you want to read a PDF. Adobe is updating its terms of use after ambiguous language sparked backlash from users about the privacy and ownership of their work. In a blog post this past Monday, the company makes the creative software tools Photoshop, Premiere, and InDesign, said it would be rolling out updated language in its user terms by June 18th. At Adobe, there's no ambiguity in our stance. Our commitment to our customers and innovating responsibly in this space, wrote EVP Scott Belsky, who oversees the product, and Dana Rao, who oversees legal and policy. Belsky and Rao wrote that their company has never trained generative AI on customer content. And again, James, is this maybe the hidden story? The actual reason for the big Hollywood strike is they're losing everything to AI. And another story, we're here. We go, oh, wait, it's because people are losing everything to this AI demon that they've unleashed and act like they're worried about. Belsky and Rao wrote that their company has never trained generative AI on customer content, nor taken ownership of people's unpublished work, and that Adobe wasn't announcing an intention to do these things with the recent terms of service update. It is worth noting that Adobe's Firefly generative AI models, which never lets me write the word Trump or Fauci into it, it says, oh, I'm sorry, they regulate what you can even type into the stupid thing, James. They're trained on contributions to Adobe Stock Library along with public domain data, but this is being treated as distinct from content created by users for their own personal and professional purposes. That said, we agree that evolving our terms of use to reflect our commitments to our community is the right thing to do, wrote Belsky and Rao last week. A PR fiasco erupted when users were notified. I think people were getting pop-ups in the program. Notified of Adobe's updated terms of use. Without clear explanation of what the changes meant or what was changed, Adobe users, as maybe we all are guilty of, immediately assumed the worst and that the updated terms meant drastic changes to the autonomy of their content. Specifically, users thought Adobe could now access unpublished works for training its Firefly AI models and could even assume ownership of works in progress. The updates lacked clarity and transparency during a time when generative AI tools are perceived as threatening the work and livelihoods of everybody. Swift backlash followed, including promises to abandon the platform. And maybe that was the only thing that made the change, James. As it turns out, Adobe's updated policy that grants the company access to user content was about screening for activity that breaks the law or violates its terms. Why didn't you say so? It's terrorism. Adobe said it never intended on training its models on user content or usurping any control. Belsky and Rao also asserted that users have the choice to not participate in product improvement program, sharing content for model training, that its licenses are narrowly tailored to the activities needed, such as scanning for inappropriate or illegal behavior, and that Adobe does not scan user content stored locally on their computers. But again, James, it makes me wonder. Again, adult material is legal for those above the age of 18. So what's the illegal content? Flyers for some rave you're not allowed to have? Your weird drugs you're making in your bathtub? Like, what's the illegal content that they're going to suddenly find? All of this, of course, could have been avoided with clear communication, but some reputational damage has likely been done. There ain't no likely about it. I have at least one professional graphic designer and artist told me, quote, "Looks like I'm going to be giving up Adobe again. Ha ha." So, James, while this freakout, as many of them are, appears to be overblown, I mean, what do you think about the fact that they still say, oh, we're just doing it to stop illegal content? They don't say terrorist. I'm inserting the word terrorist because that's the catch-all term we've been using the last 24 years. I joked on my morning show, please take my cover art. You should use some of my really hilariously cutting and offensive morning show cover art. I would love for you guys to do that. But what, are they going to start scanning what we are doing, like thumbnails for New World Next Week episodes, and say, oh, you violated the terms, you're banned from paying us forever for a subscription? Luckily, I've still got a cracked Photoshop 6 that does still work, James, or we are going to have to buckle down and learn how to use GIMP. There are open source alternatives, they're just difficult. James?
You know, you jest, but I truly do use GIMP for all my photo editing, because I find it so much easier, so much less bloated, so much less bells and whistles.
Well, I'm gonna sign up for lesson from you on some training then.
Cool. Yeah, look, I'm not doing fancy photo editing stuff, but for what I need, GIMP is fine for me. But yeah, okay, so what are the real issues here? Yeah, as you say, the illegal content that they have to scan for that, 9/11, terrorism. Yeah, okay, we're going to get the terrorists. Or what's the other one that they always fall back on? Of course, CSAM, child sexual abuse material. That is the catch-all that's generally used in situations like this. And if this all rings a bell, it's because you're remembering the Apple controversy from a few years ago, where they came out and said, hey guys, we're going to scan all your private photos on all of your devices to make sure there's no CSAM on there. And after incredible amounts of pushback and people freaking out about that, eventually Apple, too, stepped away from that and decided to kill its CSAM photo scanning tool. So I'll have a link to remind you about that if you need it in the show notes. But yes, this is the way it rolls. And perhaps there is something to that app/program distinction that you're making. Because, yeah, us old fuddy-duddies might remember the time when you owned a device which was yours, which you would then... you could download, or you could load with a floppy disk programs onto that device, and you would run those programs, and the content that was on it was all yours, and you could choose to put it out on the internet, or you could choose not to, and it's yours. But as you have pointed out many times, with the vending machinification of our devices, and the fact that we don't own anything anymore, it's all, including the Creative Suite from Adobe. No, you don't own it. You pay for a subscription and you get to download their apps and load them onto your computer, which it's not yours. If you don't own it, if it isn't your thing that you're running, you don't own it. So it's their material and they can choose to quietly slip in the back door and scan all of your stuff, or not. And, oh, we're going to be magnanimous, and maybe we won't do this, but maybe we will. But don't worry, guys, we're not feeding the AI monster with this, so you don't have to worry about that. Meanwhile, all the graphic artists are out there saying, well, I have all these contracts, NDA contracts, with all of these clients of mine who they don't want their, you know, their next advertising campaign revealed or whatever being scanned by some outside company. You're going to break all of my contracts with all of my clients. Thanks, guys. And so this, I think this just keeps going back to the point, if you don't own it, if you don't control it, it is not yours. And yeah, I think it probably is in the best interest of a lot of people to start thinking about and looking into the open source alternatives that do exist, that do function on that old program model rather than this pay-for-play subscriber app model that Adobe and the like are trying to make the norm.
Yeah, you'll own nothing. James, you mentioned the CSAM, but of course the other part of that is like, they can say revenge prawn as well. We're saving and scanning people from this dastardly other thing. James, I've been working on this analogy. I thought of it a while back, but it's the idea of installing these apps on our devices. It's kind of like inviting someone into your house. Hey, come on into my house. And I have no idea what you're going to do, what you're doing on my couch, how many other people you're inviting in when I'm not looking. You have lost any semblance of control. I like the idea better of, how about I go visit your house, and I'll go ring your doorbell, and I'll visit your website. And there are ways I can protect myself while I'm going to visit your website. But yeah, it's like installing apps are like installing criminals inside your home, and you could never do anything about it again. Have a lot of misgivings about this internet thing, James. That is New World Next Week, episode 558. We run newworldnextweek.com, where you can find all the Corbett Report DVDs and USB archives, along with, I believe, shirts of the Media Monarchy Kingdom. We got hats, we got hoodies. James, I'm thinking about making a, as the Brits would call it, a balaclava. I'd love a Media Monarchy ski mask. Just so then, of course, the news would be, you know, criminals doing things with this logo of a show no one's heard of. You haven't heard of it? Well, I premiere the exclusive audio of New World Next Week before they are published after my Thursday morning Monarchy show. That is at MediaMonarchy.com. James?
Yeah, good eye. I am indeed rocking the Media Monarchy t-shirt right now, so I hope everyone else out there is too. If you're not, you're not cool. So with that peer pressure, obviously everyone should be flooding to NewWorldNextWeek.com right now to buy their shirt and to support the independent media produced by the Bird and Ernie of the independent media, James and James here. I'll let you figure out who is who. But on that note, I think that'll do it for this week. Looking forward to doing it again.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.